If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. 50,000 watts going out there. You can also listen on your app, which you can download at 810WHB.com. I don't know if you're going to go out for a walk today, but I was out about 6:30, 7 o'clock this morning, and it was like 91% humidity, so it might not be the best day to take a walk or go for. I saw a guy running the other day at Charlie Carlin and I were coming back from our live remote at Menards yesterday, and so it was between 11:30 and 12 o'clock, and probably 97, 98 degrees. Guy's taking a run down Metcalf.
I wonder if that guy later got caught in the rain.
Yeah.
I was in that camp who got caught in the rain.
Did you? I talked to somebody yesterday who, I think she rides motorcycles with her husband. They got caught on a motorcycle in the rain.
Yeah, I was just going in and out of Shields, but it still sucked.
It's partly cloudy right now. It's a little blue sky out, but it is humid.
I'm going outside in a minute. I'll let you know how bad it is.
Okay, all right. Quick World Cup update. It's at halftime. France is leading Croatia 2-1. And yes, Joshua Briscoe, our friend, has a show on ESPN Kansas City, tweeted out, it was a fair penalty call, which France got, and then Antoine Griezmann converted the penalty kick. And Josh Briscoe asked, did he just do the Fortnite dance? Yes, he did, Joshua Briscoe. Why is Josh not listening to the show? Why is he watching the World Cup, which I wish I could be doing?
Because he's a reasonable person. But yeah, the Fortnite, I don't play it, but
I know what it is, yeah.
The floss dance.
Yeah.
That's not the specific one, but the floss dance has ruined my life. That's all my nephews want to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and people are doing it all the time now in soccer, all over the world. They want to do it. And they put up the L, right? And I saw somebody tweet out, that's going to get somebody punched someday when you're throwing an L at somebody.
Not when you can just shoot them on Fortnite.
Nope, not at all. And Djokovic has won the Wimbledon men's singles, which takes about an hour and a half to go through the celebration because you have to meet all the duchesses and the dukes and the princes and the snobs who run the tennis club. Yeah, they're snobs. Call them that. Yeah. Speaking of snobs, a guy who is not a snob, David Leske from Baseball Prospectus, joins us now. You like how I can just transition like that, David, to make sure that you're not offended?
I was like, where is he going with this?
Yeah.
But, you know, I maybe a snob. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, I just look, I'm probably unfairly judging the people at Wimbledon, but they're all wearing these, you know, fancy suits, and you have to dress this way. And I understand clubs have rules, but it's very caddyshacky.
Yes, they deserve every bit of judgment you've given them.
Yes. I think I've asked you this before, but I'll ask again, since the World Cup finals between France and Croatia going on, do you have a stake in this one? Do you have a pick? Are you interested, or are you just tuned out waiting for Royals baseball?
Well, I actually do have a stake in it, and it's the dumbest thing in the world. My fantasy football league that I've been in for a decade now, we determine draft order by just random competitions. And this year we've decided to assign a random number to each team, each fantasy football team, and then a random number to the World Cup teams. And I happen to get Croatia.
Really?
And so I'm rooting for a Croatia win so that I can get the number one pick in my fantasy football draft.
That is amazing. And I'll bet when you drew Croatia that will determine the number one overall pick in your fantasy football draft, I'll bet your friends told you have no chance.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm looking at it, I thought, okay, I might pick like sixth or seventh, which I actually don't mind in fantasy football, but I'd rather pick first, so, you know. Second wouldn't be bad either. It'll be fine if I don't get first.
You're good either. You know you're guaranteed one of the top two picks in the draft. That's
look,
awesome.
I don't want to brag here, but I'm the only person in this league that's been to playoffs every single year of the league, so I don't really need the first pick. I'm good enough anyway.
So in roughly the first 90 seconds, we've touched on baseball, fantasy football, and World Cup soccer because it's all tied in together, right?
And Wimbledon.
It's 2-1, France leading Croatia right now. So they just started the second half. We're talking with David Leske from BP Kansas City Baseball Prospectus, talking Royals and Major League. Before I get too far into the Royals, how about the Cardinals firing Mike Matheny, even though they're above 500? I know they're not going to the playoffs. I know that. But firing Mike Matheny midway through, not even making it to the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because Matheny is, by all accounts, a pretty horrible manager.
Okay.
when they've won in spite of him.
Okay.
You know, people talk about Ned Yost and, oh, he's bad strategically and all that, but he's really good in the clubhouse. I don't think anybody can argue that. And the thing about Matheny is, as we're starting to see some stuff come out about, you know, the Bud Norris and Jordan Hicks stuff and all that, I don't think he's that good in the clubhouse, and he's bad strategically. You have to be good at one of the two to be a good manager, and he doesn't seem to be especially good at either of them. So, you know, he's gone, and it's probably a smart move for the Cardinals, especially considering the backlash they've had over the last week to 10 days since that article came out. But a little bit surprising. The timing was odd to me, too, because it was, what, like 10:15 on a Saturday night with one
right.
more game before the All-Star break? Why not just wait a day?
Right.
And do it on Monday, or if MLB says, hey, don't skip the All-Star game, you're going to Wednesday. There's nothing going on Wednesday. So it's interesting. I'm a little bit surprised, but probably deserved, if we're being honest.
Yeah. That headline's kind of hijacked the All-Star talk, which I think the last person to successfully do that was Alex Rodriguez, who called in during the television broadcast to discuss his free agency or whatever it was. Yeah. So Cardinals win the day on the news. It's definitely weird. I'll bet St. Louis Talk Radio is going to be fun. This fun place for the Cardinals this week.
I imagine.
And I don't take any joy in a guy losing his job. But if you're bad at tactics and you're bad in the clubhouse, you got to go.
It's also different from like you and me. You know,
right?
If we don't take a job in sports, you take a job to get ultimately probably fired. And you know, it is what it is. They get paid handsomely for that risk. So it's not too upsetting for anybody, I don't think.
Well, things are working out at least momentarily for the Royals. Last night, Danny Duffy, 7 innings of shutout baseball, and that's back-to-back scoreless starts for Danny Duffy. And Ned Yost kind of drilled into the numbers last night. I love how he's embracing the analytics now and the stats, and said, look, his fastball percentage was too low. And we had to up that because opponents were sitting on curveballs and changeups. And so they upped the percentage of fastballs, and at least in the near term, it's worked.
Yeah, I don't think that's everything, but I think that's a big part of it. One thing, and Rustin Dodd put this out, I don't know when it was, I saw it this morning, talking about Duffy throwing more curveballs, and I noticed that as well. And you know, I wondered, I was on Sports Night this week with Cody, and we talked about maybe him throwing the curveball a little bit more is a sign that his elbow feels good. And he kind of corroborated that in Rustin's article about the curveball, saying that he was scared to throw it because of his elbow. It's the pitch he blew his elbow out on. And so he's throwing that a little bit more. He's throwing his fastball more. The velocity is back. So that's a really big deal. And he was at 91, 92 early in the season, and now he's consistently 94, 95. Fell off a little bit in the seventh yesterday, but that's to be expected. He was at 105 pitches or whatever. So it helps that he's throwing more fastballs, but it also helps that the fastball is better than it was. It just,
right.
He's back to being what he has been for the bulk of his career. And if you look, ignore his rookie season because he struggled, pitchers struggle in their rookie year, all that, you know. He's been about a number 3 starter throughout his entire career. And there have been flashes of better. But for the most part, he's been a guy who you can put in the middle of a rotation and feel really good about every fifth day. And then these first 10 starts came, and he had the 6.8 ERA or whatever it was, and it was bad. And you know, you have to look at that given the last 10 starts where he's pitched so much better. You have to look at those first 10 starts as the aberration, I feel like, because he's just been so solid throughout his career. Probably underrated. Maybe not by a lot of Royals fans, but by around baseball, I don't think people realize just how good Danny Duffy has been since he came back from Tommy John, he's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
Very solid pitcher. This is who he is. This is one of his better stretches. You know, he'll fall off a little bit, but I look at the numbers, and if he makes 13 or 14 more starts the rest of the season, as what he's done in the last 10 starts, he's going to end the year with a 3.85 ERA. And his career ERA is 3.84. So, you know, baseball has a way of evening out. It's one of those things.
Well, one thing I always look at pitch count and strike totals after games. And last night for Duffy in his 7 innings, 114 pitches, which is more efficient than he usually is. And of those 114 pitches, 74 were strikes. So you're close to 70% strikes.
Yeah, he's been in the zone. He's just been really good. And it's not, you don't look at it as, you don't feel like it's this crazy hot streak that's unsustainable either, because he's had a couple clunkers in there. He's still walking some guys. He's getting a good amount of swings and misses, which he wasn't doing early in the season. And he's putting hitters away a little earlier. The first 10 starts, I think he was averaging like 19 pitches per inning, which is just ridiculous.
That's a lot.
He still throws too many. And he's about 16 and a half over the last 10 starts. But I feel like that's, you know, just Duffy. He's never going to be a truly pitch-efficient guy over a long stretch of games. And it's just what he is. And that's, you know, it goes back. He's not an ace. He's not paid like an ace either, even though some people believe that. He's making $15 million a year, which is a lot of money. But you know, that's what number three starters earn. And that's what he is. So he's pitching like he should. And it's nice to see, just because, I mean, anybody who knows Duffy at all knows he's just a really, really good guy. And you root for him on a personal level. And it has to eat at him when he's pitching as poorly as he was earlier in the year. And now that he's pitching better, probably not eating it quite as much, and so that's good to see.
We're talking with David Leske here on Sports Sunday. Writes for BP Kansas City Baseball Prospectus. Follow him on Twitter at DB Leske, LESKY. There was some talk after the game last night as well. Maybe just fans' perspective, but Bonifacio goes yard. He's been back for a week now.
A couple weeks. Yeah.
Couple weeks since his PED suspension. And there's a little bit of talk that kind of the line of thinking is, just think what could have been this season. And I think that a lot of that is, if Bonifacio had been here, this team would be much different. I don't think it would be that much different. It's nice that he's back. It's nice that he's hitting. But I really don't think this season would have been markedly different with Bonifacio in there or Raul Mondesi, and pick your player. I really don't think it would have been markedly that different than what we see now.
No, I mean, the issue of the team is pitching. The offense is bad, too. But think about how many games that they have had won that they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Right.
Because of their bullpen.
That first month was just brutal.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, yeah, you made, so what are they, 27-67? Oh, that's terrible. If you put Bonifacio on this team, I don't know, maybe they're 29-65. Maybe he's 2 wins better. Thing is, I don't know if that's the case, because Jorge Soler was doing what Bonifacio is now doing, and so there's only like a 3-week gap. And I guess you'd say if they had both of them all season long, I don't know. It's just I have a hard time thinking this team would be a whole lot different if they had a good but not great player in their lineup every day. It's just they're a bad team, and one guy who's not a superstar isn't going to change that.
Right.
That said, it's nice to see him back. And when I was in Arizona for spring training, Bonifacio was the best player on the field, maybe Whit Merrifield, but one of those two, they were the best players on the field. So I was really disappointed to see the suspension come down, just because it was a lot of fun to watch him in Arizona. And I'm excited for his future, but I don't think he would have made much of a difference in this season.
You know, I got caught off guard last week, because I think it was during a Royals broadcast. They had mentioned, I think they were doing a disabled list update, and Jorge Soler's name popped up. And it's one of those things, out of sight, out of mind. I've almost forgotten about Jorge Soler.
Yeah.
I just haven't, he's not playing, and out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, no, it's really easy. And anything, too. He really had about a month that he was phenomenal.
Right.
And then the rest of the time, he's kind of been a middling player, which, and, you know, kind of how some guys put up their numbers. But, yeah, he was, I had forgotten about him a little bit, too. And you know, every time I go look at the stats for a series preview or just an article, I see his name and I'm, oh yeah, that's right, of course he's, and you start to think, well, wait, when did he go down? And I couldn't remember when that was, so I wasn't sure when he'd be back, but maybe soon-ish. It'll be nice to see a lineup with him and Bonifacio and maybe Whit Merrifield if he's not dealt, which I don't think he will be.
Right.
And see if they can actually score some runs. And, you know, people always say, well, the lineup's going to get a lot worse when they trade Mike Moustakas. And, yeah, it will take a dip. But if they trade Moustakas and get Jorge Soler back, I don't think it'll be all that different. And, you know, a little bit younger, maybe a little bit more athletic and a little bit more fun to watch at the very least. So that's a good thing, but it's I've forgotten about Soler many times over the last few weeks as myself.
When you look at this rotation right now, as we charge towards the All-Star break, you know, Birch Smith is starting today. I always had to pause because that's a hard name to say fast. Birch Smith is starting today. Is this just the patchwork nature of what they have to do until they get to the break and then come up with some ideas or? Gosh, I don't know who they could call up, but is it just kind of a patchwork, see how it goes, and this guy who is only going to pitch three or four innings, and then we'll figure it out from there? Is that kind of where they are right now?
Yeah, pretty much. And I think if they didn't have the break coming up, I feel like they probably would have gone to maybe Trevor Oakes, who pitched for Omaha last night.
Did he do something to somebody? Because he came up. And I think he's had a really good season in Omaha. I looked at his numbers. He's had a good season.
Yeah, been fantastic.
Has he done something to not deserve to pitch up here?
Well, it's just the timing of everything, because he pitched for Kennedy off the DL. And
right.
And when Kennedy was going to come off, they sent him down and brought up, I forget who they brought up, another reliever. I think it was Jason Adam, maybe. And maybe it was, I don't remember who it was. It doesn't matter. But when Kennedy went out, they had to make a roster move, but it was before, so they had to bring Jason Adam. I don't know exactly, but it was before the 10 days were up for Trevor Oakes, and then he had started until it wasn't his turn in the rotation. So it's just been really, really awkward timing from that front. And it's disappointing because a lot of people are down on Trevor Oakes. He's had a great season, gets a lot of ground balls. I like Trevor Oakes personally. I like to see him get a chance.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think the timing's just been really bad because he just hasn't. They haven't had been – the need came like the day after he'd had a start in Omaha, or he hadn't been down in the minors long, and it's just everything – it kind of all worked against him. My guess – so Jake Junis, another guy who is probably easy to forget right now because he's been on the disabled list for a couple weeks. He should be back, I would imagine, relatively soon. They didn't think it was that big of a deal when they put him on the disabled list a few weeks ago. But that said, they don't think a lot of things are a big deal, and they're out for 6 weeks. But he should be back, and Brad Keller obviously will keep getting starts. Birch Smith, I don't know if he'll get a chance, but I think we'll see Trevor Oakes and Keith Stillmeyer in the second half. And yeah, today I think is just one of those things that it's the day before the break. Pretty much everybody's available. They didn't use much last night because of Duffy, so. Why not go with a bullpen game? And I think Ned said Stillmeyer would have started, except for they needed him on Friday because Brad Keller struggled. So just did things, horrible timing for everything. And so, yeah, bullpen game. And also, the Royals, they respect the sanctity of a pennant race. But the good news is the White Sox and Royals, neither one of them are going to factor in the pennant race. So
right.
If you want to do some weird things, this is the game. This is the series to do it in. I'm a little bit surprised we haven't seen more Moustakas at first base this series. But, you know, it's just kind of the nature of this season. It's experimentation and doing kind of whatever you need to do to put together a game, basically.
Right. Well, we're heading to, as we said, the All-Star break will begin tomorrow. 4 days off for most of the guys. But Salvador Perez is going, and he's a controversial selection because his hitting numbers are quite terrible this year. But still play solid defense, and due to this is the royalist kind of thing. Wilson Ramos from the Rays was the was named the starter for the All-Star team at catcher, but he's hurt, got hurt yesterday, and now Salvador Perez will start, which is amazing. I mean, I'm happy for him, but it's amazing that the guy with the some of the worst offensive numbers in the game is going to start.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve it. But, look, the players voted him in. So
right.
The second catcher, and he's going to get a start. It's his fifth start in a row, I believe. And it's interesting because it for history will have forgotten this, but two of them are as injury replacements. Because
yes,
I think his first start was when Matt Wieters got hurt a few years ago. So, you know, three of his five stars he was voted in, two not. But, yeah, it's not, honestly, I don't think it's a great look for the Royals to have their all-star be a 220 guy with a 260 on base. But, you know, Perez is known around the game. He's one of the game stars.
Right.
He's the mayor.
I've seen him at all-star games. I went to the one here in Kansas City. I also went to the one the following year in New York. And he walked around the clubhouse. Salvador Perez is the mayor.
Yeah. He's everybody loves him. Everybody loves Salvi. Yeah. I think it seems more embarrassing in Kansas City, whereas I don't think anybody especially actually cares.
Right.
It's one of those things. It's like when you got a pimple on your nose that you think everybody sees and nobody notices it until you point it out. and I think Salvador Perez this season is the pimple on your nose of the All-Star game.
I saw an interesting question because people are talking about the All-Star game and who makes the team and who doesn't, an automatic pick. So somebody posed the question on Twitter this week, which are you actually more interested in now, the All-Star game itself, or has the Home Run Derby become the more interesting spectacle?
Well, typically, you know, for just in a vacuum, I think the Home Run Derby is more fun because the rule changes they made, the four-minute deal,
yes,
just made it a much better event.
Yeah, it used to be like 5 hours.
Right, and it was, and it still does go long, but yeah. It's compelling because there's a clock. But this year, the Home Run Derby, boy, have you seen some of the names in that?
I mean, yeah. You wouldn't recognize half of them. Yeah, there's no Giancarlo
right.
Stanton, there's no Aaron Judge, and then there's guys some people probably never heard of before.
I mean, Max Muncy, you know, he's having
yes.
a great season, but come on. I mean, it'll still be interesting, though, because guys hitting balls 480 feet are still fun to watch.
Right.
So, yeah, I think typically the Home Run Derby this year, the Futures game to me is interesting. we get to see
yes.
Philly Mathias hitting fourth,
yes.
which is awesome. But, you know, it's all a fun spectacle. And, I mean, I love the All-Star game. My favorite thing about the All-Star game, personally, is I love the introductions.
I love it, too. Yeah, absolutely.
I think those are great. And, you know, it's a fun little break from baseball. And to most seasons, I feel like the break is just too long. This year, I'm like, yeah, make it a week. It's fine. I could do without Royals baseball for a week. So it'll be nice to not see them lose, I guess, for a few days.
Absolutely. Well, David, enjoy the All-Star break. I'm sure you'll be digging through some numbers and things, but enjoy the Futures game, the Home Run Derby, the All-Star game, and the one day when nothing happens at all. So I appreciate you joining us, and enjoy the rest of this hot, sticky, muggy Sunday.
I'll do my best. Thanks, Brad.
All right. That is David Leske. Writes about the Royals for BP Kansas City Baseball Prospectus. Follow him on Twitter at DB Leske, LESKY. As we're coming up on a timeout here, an update from the World Cup Finals. France now leading Croatia 3-1. And the satellite dish went out right when France scored a goal there or something happened. But we got to see it right when the second it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, went
Paul
out.
Paul Pogba scored.
Yeah. So on a fantastic free kick. So 3-1 France leading 65 minutes almost played in this match. And another goal just happened while I was talking. Is that Mbappe? Mbappe just scored for France. It's now 4-1. 4-1. Wow. We can talk about it a little bit more. When we come back, we're going to do our segment. This is the third week we're doing this segment now. It's called Jedlines. The man who runs the show, Jed Marshall, will pick out stories from both inside the sports world and outside the sports world that might be interesting, weird, thought-provoking, and I don't know what any of them are. And then we'll kick it around. So Jedlines, coming up next, Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Sunday, live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, well, this World Cup match between France and Croatia for the finals is getting nuts. As we went to commercial break, France had taken a 4-1 lead. Croatia has pulled one back to make it 4-2. And what happened is the French goalkeeper was approaching the ball, and the Croatian attacker was right on top of him, and the goalkeeper kicked it right into the feet of the Croatian player, and it went right into the goal.
Charlie just walked in here and was like, did that really just happen?
Yes!
And, of course, I was getting us back from break and whatnot, and I didn't even see it.
That was ridiculous. And you know what? There's 20 minutes left in this game. 20 minutes left for Croatia to come up with some magic. I don't think they will, but they got 20 minutes. What a fantastic gaffe by the French goalkeeper.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is real
bad.
That
was horrific. And that's happened like 3 or 4 times in this World Cup where goalkeepers have just made these horrendous mistakes.
Yeah, those goalkeepers, man. You can't trust them.
Just
like Jake Gutierrez.
I don't. So 4-2, France leading Croatia in the World Cup finals. About 20 minutes left. Djokovic is your men's Wimbledon finals champion. And everybody on the TV set is wearing a white suit, which is strange, but okay. I guess you have to do
that.
Not
after Labor Day?
Nah, I find it strange. Hugh Grant was there, showed him. Is he still famous?
You brought him up, so yeah. Sure. He's more famous than you or I.
They were showing him in the crowd. Benedict Cumberbatch, is that how you say his name correctly?
Mm-hmm.
He's there. So all the stars are out. All the duchesses and the dukes and the princes and...
I saw Meghan Markle and the other prince.
I don't know their
princess.
Names. I don't know their names.
Kate Middleton. There we go.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
them. If you
like
said her name, I would say, oh, yeah, she's a princess. But if you just ask me who the princess is or if she's a duchess, well, I don't know what their titles are. Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
They're not part of us. We fought a war to make sure we didn't have to talk about that a few hundred years ago. We just go in different directions here, Jed. By the way, Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from the Riley House Studios, and now time for our Jed Lines, where Jed Marshall picks out stories from the world of sports or outside of sports that might be interesting, thought-provoking, weird. Put a nice little musical bed under this while we're talking about it. So, Jed Marshall with Jed Lines, take it away.
So, obviously, you mentioned...
And I don't know what any of these stories are. You're just throwing at me these blind.
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
That's how we've been doing it, so I guess we'll keep doing that. So ultimately, you touched on the big things going on. Obviously, World Cup final, 72nd minute, two guys laying on the ground, shockingly. In what has been a pretty exciting match, you mentioned the Wimbledon final already completed today.
Right.
So these are not necessarily the most pressing things, but still things that we all need to know. You mentioned also Mike Matheny out as Cardinals manager.
Yep.
I don't know, you mentioned yesterday that you're kind of a poker player. Did you watch any of the World Series of Poker coverage?
I'm a poker player in that I've played the game. I wouldn't say I was a poker player because I'm awful. I saw a guy I know, Brad Tyler, at the Kenny Chesney concert last night. We used to play poker together.
Okay.
Was it on at like 3 o'clock in the morning?
It was on until 9 o'clock this morning.
Okay, was it on TV all night last
night? It was on
night?
TV all night. They played heads up for 9 straight hours.
9 hours!
And finally concluded the guy.
Two guys!
Yeah, I believe I'm getting this correct. His last name is Sin. Ended up going on. He ended up winning. But, won, I think, $12 million. But, yeah, 9 straight hours of heads up poker.
9 hours. Do they take... I know I've seen it before on the World Series of Poker. They have, like, I don't know what the proper title is, a masseuse or a massage therapist, I guess.
Okay.
They have them on standby, and you can call to have somebody come over and rub your shoulders. You sit for 9 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I know in poker tournaments I've played in, you can obviously just be in away mode where they post your blinds and whatnot.
Right.
But that's what they do if you stay too long after the break or whatever.
Right.
But you do, I think every 2 hours, get like a 10-minute break where you can kind of go to the bathrooms and do your own thing.
You gotta throw down some major caffeine or something, right? Play poker for 9 hours.
The last tournament I planned, this was a few years ago, I was throwing down many gin and tonics.
Okay.
So from chip leader to out of tournament in about, let's say, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I mentioned to the entire table what my tell was.
I'm the guy who's, and I'm not giving away any secrets here, I'm the guy, and Seren heckled me at a poker tournament once. We played a charity poker tournament. I can't remember what it was. Nick Garcia played in it.
Nice.
Who we had on the show earlier. Yes. Seren Petro was in it. Mick Schaefer was in it. And a bunch of other athlete TV type celebrities. And I'm very conservative. And I think I had an ace, two aces. We were playing Texas Hold'em. I think I had a couple of aces, so I put in my money, and Seren goes, "Well, look out, Porter's in. He must have four of a kind." He heckled me at the table, Seren Petro did.
That sounds fine.
So I'm too conservative, and when I bet, everybody knows I have something. So.
Yeah, well, you might want to vary your pattern of play. Anyways, next headline.
Okay.
Mike Tomlin, obviously head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
It's no surprise or shock to anyone that Le'Veon Bell is holding out. He has recently been described as his spirits being high as the deadline closes in, thinking that a deal will be complete by training camp.
Didn't he say the same thing last year?
He did.
And did they get a contract done last year?
They did not.
No. You know, Kirk Cousins has taught some valuable lessons about playing the franchise tag to the fullest. Because Kirk Cousins, Washington kept trying to lowball him the last couple of years. And he would just say, "Give me the franchise tag." What was it, $30 million? So he's made, what, over $60 million over the last 2 years by not signing a long-term deal? And then got his money with the Broncos is all, or I'm sorry, the Vikings, is all guaranteed? He's played it better than anybody.
He has a good agent.
Le'Veon Bell, I think the franchise tag for running back this year is a little over $14 million. Is that right?
Sounds right.
But he wants the franchise tag number as a yearly salary in any long-term deal. And he had, how many carries did he have last year? 321. I just looked it up. He's got a lot of miles. I know he's a great player, but
catches a lot of passes as well.
If you're the Steelers, maybe you just do the franchise tag. And if he makes it through healthy, do it again next year.
There is a penalty that occurs each time you franchise a guy, but right. That is one way to look at it.
Right. I don't think a deal gets done.
No. I just think it's interesting that Mike Tomlin sits in the same situation as he was last year. Same exact opinion. You know, I'm sure we'll get a deal done.
Nope.
I wouldn't be quite as optimistic if I was Mike Tomlin. Anyways, nope. Brad, do you play the fantasy football?
I have not played I did not play last year because we had a league at Metro Sports, Spectrum Sports, KC, and then after the massive round of layoffs last year, we didn't get back together with our former coworkers to put a league in, so I didn't play last year.
That's disappointing. You may not be as interested in this. Do you you know who Rich Eisen is, obviously.
Absolutely.
Formerly of ESPN, now of NFL Network.
Yep.
He released who he considers the sleeper of the NFL fantasy football year.
Okay.
Do you know who it is?
I do not.
Do you want to hazard a guess?
Sleeper pick of the
year? Sleeper pick.
I'm going to guess it has a tie to Kansas City, if it's not a Chief.
It is not a Chief.
Is it Alex Smith?
No.
I have no earthly idea.
Alvin Kamara is who he says.
Really? The Saints running back?
The Saints running back, Rich Eisen picks as the sleeper of this year's draft.
A sleeper?
That's what I was going to say. After his huge year last year, how Rich Eisen defines him as a sleeper, I'm not sure, but hey, we'll go with it.
Wasn't he the NFL Rookie of the Year?
Yes.
Over Kareem Hunt?
He was.
Yeah, that's not a sleeper. That's a known commodity. If I was going to say a sleeper pick, I would pick like somebody who, like an Alex Smith who was traded from one team to another, or a free agent who signed with a different team. I'd call those sleepers. I wouldn't call the guy who finished second in the league in rushing and was the NFL Rookie of the Year. That's not a sleeper pick in my book.
I guess everybody has different definitions of sleeper. All right, next deadline. Brad, I know you're a huge MMA guy. You love the Conor McGregor. You have been out and about with him on many occasions, correct?
Party like a rock star. I helped him throw the chair through the bus window.
That was you?
I handed him the chair.
Yeah, and I noticed.
I dared him to do it.
Because you always wear the hoodie in studio, so you can't see all the tats and arm sleeves
covered
that you have going on.
Got his full sleeve.
Maybe your old running mate, Conor McGregor's partying days, might be done because it was announced by his girlfriend, Dee Devlin, that Conor McGregor is, he isn't, but his girlfriend is expecting their second child.
So the first child wasn't enough.
No.
To slow him down.
No, you know, you have two kids. Wasn't it after number two that you're starting to slow down now?
Yeah, after the first one, I was still partying
still
like a rock
partying
star.
With Conor McGregor.
Oh, velvet ropes, checking my name off the clipboard at the club. Absolutely. Party animal until number two. I don't see Conor McGregor slowing down. It doesn't appear to be in his nature.
I don't know. The last time he was seen, it was after a court appearance.
Well,
he was in Central Park riding a boat and doing all this fun stuff. And
isn't his life in danger from the Irish mafia?
Probably.
Because he did something that probably cost them money or something.
Yeah. Conor McGregor's a weird guy. Also, yeah. Kate Upton is pregnant.
I did see a tweet about that, and somebody copied and retweeted with their own comments and said, congratulations on the sex.
I didn't see
that. I didn't know if they were referring to...
That's not where I was going. That's at Brad K. Porter again.
I would just assume he was talking about whether or not it's a boy or a girl. I didn't want to interpret for this person.
It's too late for that, Brad. We'll press forward. All right, next Jedline.
Okay.
My favorite person, because of the outlandish stuff he says, LaVar Ball is back in the in the news.
Oh, boy.
He says that LiAngelo Ball has to take... as a road to the NBA. It's just through the JBA.
What is the JBA?
The JBA is a new league that LaVar Ball created. So far, it's going pretty well for LiAngelo, who had 53 points, 10 boards, and 10 assists in his Thursday night debut, playing in front of Lakers, quote, stars, Lonzo Ball and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Stars being in quotation, because I don't know if those guys count as stars.
How did I miss the start of the JBA season?
How couldn't you? So I've been watching, actually, a lot of Big Three basketball.
I watched the Big Three. It's
awesome.
Entertaining.
It is, and Michael Rapoport's priceless as the sideline guy. But, JBA, new thing.
So
just
basically,
like the Big Baller Brand.
LaVar Ball created a league so his kid could play because he can't get an NBA contract. Is that the gist of it?
That seems correct. Okay. 53-10. 10-10, though. Triple-double.
I would love to see the rosters of those two teams to see what kind of competition playing against.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he plays a minute in the NBA.
All right. Two more.
Okay.
There's a lot of news being made of the fact that Vladimir Putin and President Donald Trump are going to meet coming up here in the next week.
Right.
It's a huge deal. Many people view it as polarizing. One person found a great way to make this a way to unite all people.
Okay.
A Finnish brewery created a quirky beer for Trump and Putin summit.
Okay, because their meeting is going to be in Helsinki, right?
Yes.
I do know that.
So this Finnish brewery crafted a humorous beer called Let's Settle This Like Adults, and then they have Making Lager Great Again.
Oh,
those
boy.
Are the two beers they have with images of the two fist pumping.
Okay.
You don't like
they
at least
showed,
where their spirit is?
They just showed,
having beers?
They just showed Vladimir Putin in the box of the World Cup with the head of FIFA. You can't get more awful people together than FIFA and Vladimir Putin. I'm not drinking a beer with a politician's face on it. I'm not doing that. Maybe I hope they solve some of the world's issues while they're together. I'm not real hopeful.
If
that.
You can't get together over a good pint, Brad.
Exactly.
Isn't that how you solve all the world's problems?
That's what Obama did when he had the beer summit, when they had that professor from, an Ivy League school. Was at Harvard?
Sure.
And the cops came to his house because his alarm went off and they thought someone was breaking in, and it turned into a whole thing. And
I guess
Obama invited the police officer and the professor to the White House, and they had beers out on the lawn. So, yeah. It might help. Might help.
Maybe. All right, last one.
Okay.
Pranksters plant Wyoming city flower pots with real pot. What do you make of that, Brad?
Is pot legal?
It is not.
In Wyoming?
Powell, Wyoming has discovered that literally its potted plants have gone to pot. Officials in Powell believe pranksters planted marijuana seeds in city-owned flower pots this spring, leading unsuspecting city workers to water and care for them.
Okay, that's funny. That's pretty funny.
I think that's hysterical, too.
I mean, I've never smoked marijuana in my life, but I think that's pretty funny. I don't encourage anybody to do it, but if you do, you know, it's your choice. That's pretty funny. As far as pranks go,
yeah, no one's getting harmed.
If they're trying to make a point or raise awareness for, say, medical marijuana, or they want the state to legalize it, if this was like a stunt promotion, that ranks pretty high.
Yeah, you know that's what they say about those potheads. They always have an agenda that they're pushing forward. Oh, and they're so forward-thinking, man.
High Times magazine they're just shoving their agenda. Big pot is in your face.
Always. Those are Jedlines.
Okay. I like those. We touched on a little bit of everything. We didn't have any STDs like yesterday come up.
Feel bad for that family at Menards. Had I known they were there, I would have gone away from that story.
Okay. I don't think they actually heard it. I think the dad may have heard it, but the kids were too little. They wouldn't even know what we were talking about.
I get in trouble sometimes. My sister sometimes listens, and she, when I say the A word, ass, she's like, hey, your nephews and niece are in the car. Watch it, pal.
Well, it's funny. I listen to the Border Patrol every morning with the kids during school year on the drive to school, and I have to be quick on the draw sometimes. Got to be quick on the draw. And absolutely, my kids cannot listen to the Friday show in the last 15 minutes. My older one might be able to now, but definitely not the younger one. On that note, we will take a quick timeout, and we'll come back for one final segment. One final segment of the Sports Sunday show. Update from the World Cup. It's still France leading Croatia 4-2. They're in the final 5 minutes of regulation. I'm sure there'll be some added time on here with all the goals. I'm going to guess they add... make a bet. I'm going to go 6 minutes. You go five. Jed's going 5 minutes. I'm going to say they're going to add 6 minutes. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. One final segment. You're listening to Sports Sunday. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. And you're listening live from the Rally House Studios, Sports Radio 810, WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Final few minutes of the show here, Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Then at noon, Rudy Salazar is going to jump behind the microphone for Baseball Tonight, getting you ready for the series finale between the White Sox and the Royals. The Royals coming off their 5-0 win last night. And then we have the All-Star break coming up. The computer froze up. I was trying to look up the Home Run Derby matchups because they have the brackets set. But the All-Star game in general, we were talking about a little bit earlier with David Leske. Salvador Perez is your starting catcher. Wilson Ramos was supposed to start, but he got hurt last night. And now it's Salvador Perez.
What an honor. I'm sure Salvi is so thrilled.
And you know, look, Salvi likes being around all the guys. He's the mayor and all that, but he has to know that his stats are unworthy of an All-Star selection.
It's like Alex Smith being a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Elvis Gerbach was a Pro Bowl quarterback one
same,
year.
Same idea.
Because I remember when we used to crack on Elvis Gerbach, it was either, was it Gunther? Guy made a Pro Bowl. Gosh darn it. And some other colorful words. That doesn't really count. Jed, are you into the All-Star game still? When I was a kid, when we didn't have cable and there was no interleague play, so I didn't get to see all the stars of the National League, I loved it. Absolutely loved it when I was a kid.
I do have very fond memories of the All-Star game from my childhood, but they're also like 7, 8, 9, 10, when I actually cared about baseball a lot more. And then the strike happened, and I was pretty jaded about baseball for a long time, and then steroids came around and I got more interested, and now obviously I work in the field and have for quite some time, so I follow baseball pretty closely. But no, the All-Star game doesn't do anything.
Now, David Leske had it right earlier. I still love the introductions when the camera goes down the line and all the teammates. If you have more than one player from your team in the All-Star game, you're all together. And then in Kansas City, when we hosted the All-Star game, you know, you booed the Cardinals players, booed Robinson Cano because he backpedaled on the fact that he was going to invite Billy Butler to take part in the Home Run Derby. So Robinson Cano got roundly booed, and then he went out. Did he go 0-for in the home run derby? Cano?
He did. The Kansas City mojo,
the curse,
juju got to him. Because what is it people always say about Kansas Cityans, that we're so nice and welcoming and warm? Apparently not. Robinson Cano, ask him about it. We're all jerks. look in the mirror, Kansas City.
Yeah, it's all right. It was fun. That was fun. Hosting the All-Star
Being
Games
a smartass.
I know. The Home Run Derby. Somebody posted on Twitter, are you more interested in the Home Run Derby or the All-Star Game itself? Here's your Home Run Derby matchups. Now, remember, no Giancarlo Stanton, no Aaron Judge. They both declined, I guess. I don't know if they were invited, but they're not in it. And they put on a show last year. That was what, guys hitting balls 900 feet. Is that Miami last year? It's in D.C. this year. Here's your Home Run Derby matchups. Jesus Aguilar Jesus Aguilar versus Reyes Hoskins. Who you got in that matchup? Got to see that one. No. Could not care less. Your other matchups, Kyle Schwarber versus Alex Bregman. That would be interesting. I mean, Schwarber can crush it. And Alex Bregman is one of the best young players in baseball, the Houston Astros. He didn't stay in the minors long before he got called up. He came almost right out of LSU straight to the bigs. That could be okay. Bryce Harper versus Freddie Freeman. I'm mildly interested in that because it's Bryce Harper, but still no. Getting a no from Jed. And Javier Baez versus Max Muncy. Tell me when the collectibles come out for that one.
I love, what's his name? Max Muncy?
Max Muncy.
Yeah, that's my pick to win. A guy I literally heard of when you started talking about this.
Max Muncy. It sounds like...
Who's he even play for?
Brewers?
The Brewers are good. I don't watch a lot of Brewers games. I guess that would make sense.
See, Dodgers.
One of those blue teams.
One of those
Maybe
blue
he's a
teams.
Blue Jay.
Maybe
Who knows?
Could be.
Maybe
could
he's
be
a Ranger.
Royal. Maybe he's
There's
a Royal.
Blue.
He's a
could
Royal.
Be on the, if he's in the home run derby, there's no way he could be on the Royals. You know that as well as I do.
Max Muncy sounds like the name of Robert Duvall's character in The Natural. Is it Max Mercy? Was that his name? He was the newspaper writer. And he wanted to do a big story on Roy Hobbs, and then he found the dirt from his childhood and was going to exposed him in the newspaper for what happened 30 years before. Max Mercy was the name of the writer, but we got Max Muncy in the Home Run Derby. Will you watch that, Jed, Home Run Derby, or no?
No, I will not. I will use my time better on...
I don't know if it got better last year when they took Chris Berman off of it, but I definitely didn't hate it as much.
To me, the Home Run Derby is really boring. Watching guys hit home runs, I don't know. I've seen enough home runs in my life that it doesn't have the appeal to me that it once did. Chris Berman was a train wreck on that.
Yes.
Back. Get out of my life. That was so tired and played out. And Chris Berman, great broadcasting career.
Right.
It lasted about 12 years too long.
Yeah. His NFL draft anchoring was wretched. It was wretched. That's why they kept adding more panelists. Let Chris announce the player, and then let's go to our other set where he won't be able to say anything. Brutal. All right, so Rudy Salazar for Royals and White Sox today. First pitch at 1 o'clock. Rudy's got pregame coverage at noon with baseball tonight, and then he'll be back with postgame coverage. Update from the World Cup. It is over. France are your world champions for the first time since 1998. We see only 8 countries have ever won the World Cup. France has won multiple World Cups. France are your champions. So I feel for you, for all the all our Croatian fans over in Kansas City, Kansas, and Strawberry Hill. I feel for you. I do. I was rooting for you.
Rudy points out that the U.S. is co-World Cup champions because they tied with France, in an international friendly.
In a friendly that didn't matter. No. Is that 6 degrees thing where you figure out, like...
Rudy just walked in here and said it 4 different times, so I was like, all right, dude, I'll get this on the air for you. Apparently, that's what you want.
If the United States played France in a World Cup game, in a knockout game, the U.S. would get played right off the field.
Did you see?
And it wouldn't be close.
Was it the Everton score where they won 22-0 against
some
rummies yesterday?
Is
that what would happen, USA France?
It wouldn't be that bad, but it would be bad. It would be bad. Get your stuff together, U.S. soccer, and figure it out. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to our guests, Nick Garcia, Matt Verderam, David Leske. Thanks to Jed Marshall for running the show today. Rhys Salazar is up next with Baseball Tonight. My name is Brad Porter. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and have a great, great week. You've been listening to Sports Sunday, live from the Raleigh House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This morning.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.